Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. The face of Cuba for almost 60 years, its biggest brand was its firebrand leader, Fidel Castro. Late Friday night, it was announced that he had died at age 90. Where does Cuba go now? You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Where do you see Cuba headed after Fidel Castro? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Saturday, following the news of Fidel Castro's death, Cuban Americans took to the streets of Miami to celebrate. Here, courtesy of CNN, what two of them had to say.
I've been waiting for 56 years for this night. I am so happy. I wish that my grandmother was alive. She died 6 months ago, and she would have died to see this.
In Cuba, not right out like that. Cuba has declared a 9-day period of mourning after the death of Fidel Castro. On Saturday, CNN interviewed Cubans in Havana. Here's one man's reaction. This is hard for all Cubans, he said. He was our leader, the leader of the Cuban Revolution. We have to continue to move forward, but with his ideals and the path he paved. With us now to look at the future of Cuba, post-Fidel Castro, first Mimi Whitefield joins us, Cuba correspondent for the Miami Herald. And while she waits for her visa to come through to head down to Cuba, she joins us from Miami. Mimi, welcome back to On Point. It's great to have you here today.
Hi, Tom.
And joining me from Washington is William Leogrand, professor of government at American University, specializes in Latin American politics, U.S. foreign policy, author of Back Channel to Cuba, the hidden history of negotiations between Washington and Havana. William Leogrand, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Mimi, first to you. Is it possible to make out through this moment what may be coming here? What political dynamics are kicking in Cuba as we speak? Do you anticipate significant change? After all, his brother, Raul Castro, is still in power.
Many of the Cuban exiles hope that what's happening now will be a prelude to a free Cuba. But in my view, nothing is going to change that fast in Cuba. The succession from Fidel Castro to his brother Raul took place a decade ago, and Raul is already engineering his own succession. And the most important thing for the Cuban government is maintaining control, and they have neither the capacity or the appetite for rapid change. There could be some unknown factors thrown into the equation. One is the declining economy and their benefactor, Venezuela. Cubans may tire of the slow pace of economic change in Cuba because the economy is definitely on the rails.
William Leogrand in Washington, what do you see about what Cubans value in the Fidel Castro legacy and what they might want to jettison? And does the jettisoning part portend to you significant political change there?
So I think two things that Cubans to this day respect about Fidel Castro. One was that he was able to achieve Cuba's complete independence and sovereignty from the United States, which had dominated the island since 1898. And second, the social welfare system that he put in place, free health care, free education, a guaranteed job for everyone, and social security. The things that didn't work and that I think Cubans are today most unhappy about are, as Mimi said, first the economy, which is stagnant. I mean, the old Soviet-style central planning system never really worked, and they're in the process now of trying to transition to a market socialist economy like China, but they're at the very beginning of that stage. And secondly, a political system, which is a closed political system, doesn't really have mechanisms for ordinary Cubans to express their point of view effectively or hold leaders accountable.
How significant do you see the depth of dissatisfaction with the economy and maybe with the politics? Is there enough there to push Cuba toward change, or in the ratio of power between that system and whatever dissatisfaction is there, Does it pretend status quo to you?
Well, Cuba is already changing. It's been changing since Raul became president and began this process of economic reform. People are still deeply dissatisfied with the economy, and the changes haven't really soaked down yet to improve the standard of living of most ordinary people. But at the same time, I think, Cubans are hopeful that this process will eventually improve the situation, and they're also anxious about the possibility of instability and violence, which they don't want to see. So as long as there's a sense that this reform process is moving forward, even gradually, I think that the situation there will remain reasonably stable.
Here was the Cuban leader Raul Castro on Friday night making the formal announcement that his brother Fidel had died.
Querido pueblo de Cuba, con profundo dolor,
dear people of Cuba, he said, with deep sadness, I inform our people, the friends of our America and the world, that today, November 25th, 2016, at 10:29 in the night, the commander-in-chief of the Cuban Revolution, Fidel Castro Ruz, has died.
A las 10:29 horas de la noche, falleció el comandante en jefe de la Revolución Cubana, Fidel Castro Ruz.
Has died, from Raul Castro there. And here was Fidel Castro himself on the streets in Havana in 1999, celebrating then with an adoring crowd the 40th anniversary of the Cuban Revolution. Defiant and proud, he said then, to have fended off the attention, so we say, of 9 different American presidential administrations.
No habría Cuba. No habría podido resistir la hostilidad de 9 presidentes de Estados Unidos, que con excepción de
Fidel Castro, 1999, saying Cuba is still resisting the hostility of 9 U.S. presidents, who, with the exception of Carter, he said then, I can say with all honesty, were hostile and violent against our homeland. Now here we are, 2016, and at 90, Fidel Castro is gone. Sam in Miami, Florida. Sam, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Tom. Good morning to your guests. I've been living in Miami for over 20 years now, and what I see is since Fidel Castro really kind of left the scene after his illness and Raul took over, he pretty much kept the status quo. So I'm not sure that all the celebration that's happening here is, it's really, I guess, the death of the symbolism and what really Fidel Castro stood for rather than real change. And I think Raul Castro has pretty much kept the status quo. I mean, it slowly have opened up a little bit, and talking with President Obama did kind of open things up a little bit. But I don't see that this will cause any immediate change. I don't think, we have to be hopeful, but, really immediate change, immediate opening and democracy as we know it, I really see it really far-fetched as long as the Castros are in power.
What do you see down the road, Sam? Look 5 or 10 years down the road. What do you, as a Cuban emigre, what do you see coming?
I mean, I'm actually immigrated from Brazil here.
Excuse
but
me.
Knowing, a lot of Cuban, having a lot of Cuban friends and knowing their stories and everything they've gone through, even to this day, people are still, almost dying to get here. So things are not good over there for them, even, after Raul has been in power for this long. I think for the next 5 to 10 years, I think if the U.S. Continues to, press on opening up Cuba and continue conversations, I think that's a positive move towards the future. I think we have to keep this going. I do believe that Raul is probably not as hardline, and he sees a more open Cuba in the future based on his, behavior and his openness in talking to President Obama lately. I think it's in a positive direction. I think it's too slow. It could be a lot faster than what's going on now, but I think it's going in the right direction.
Sam, I appreciate your call. Mimi Whitefield, what about what's changed and what has not changed in the years of Raul Castro's leadership?
Well, one of the main things that he has done is made changes, more market-oriented economic changes. So he's opened the economic scene for private business, private cooperatives. Under his watch, Cubans can more freely leave the island and come back, although many are choosing to, if they make their way to the United States, stay and take advantage of the Cuban Adjustment Act. Also, during his watch, Cuba has embraced foreign investment. They're actively courting it, saying they now need it for the economic development of the island, that it is, in fact, essential now.
So bring on the foreign money. That's different than changing a whole system. Bill in Hull, Massachusetts. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking the call. Yeah. I just have a quick question for your panel. Mm-hmm. I wonder what they think the future holds for the softening of relations between the United States and Cuba that finally, after 55, 60 years, has been implemented under President Obama. Obama's got 2 months left, and then we're going to get a Trump administration, which I would imagine, and kind of in light of the previous hour, would try to reverse all of this. I wonder what the panel thinks will happen with the softening of relations once the Trump administration takes over. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you, Bill. William Legrand, what do you anticipate when the Trump administration moves in terms of how they may treat the Obama opening, softening, and facing a Cuba without Fidel at all?
Well, just this morning, Mr. Trump tweeted that if Cuba wasn't willing to negotiate a better deal, then the deal would be off, is how he put it. Now, the reality, of course, is that U.S.-Cuban relations are a complex fabric of bilateral agreements that we've reached with Cuba over the years, regulatory changes that President Obama made that opened up business and travel. So it's a complicated relationship. But I think the point that Mr. Trump was making is that he would roll back Obama's opening to Cuba toward a more of a policy of hostility that we had during the Cold War. But that, at least, I will say, is more flexible than he was during the campaign itself, when down in Miami speaking to Cuban Americans, he said just flatly he was going to roll back everything that Obama had done.
And, of course, we got the first commercial flight from the U.S. going into Cuba today. I mean, what could he ask for from Cuba in that, what, agreement? Is it even an agreement, William Legrand?
Actually, almost all of the changes that Obama made that have opened up travel and have opened up commercial relations with Cuba were done unilaterally by the president, because he believed that they were in the interests of the United States, and that by opening up to Cuba, we would actually create an environment that would encourage change on the island itself. So there isn't actually a deal, a tangible deal there. But what Mr. Trump has said is that he's going to demand from Cuba some concessions on political freedom, religious freedom, and economic freedom. I'm afraid he's going to be disappointed if he thinks he can make those kinds of demands and that the Cuban leaders are just going to roll over and agree to them. This is a leadership that survived the Bay of Pigs, survived the Cuban Missile Crisis, survived assassination attempts by the United States, and 50 years of the most thorough economic sanctions we have on any country in the world. So I don't think they're going to be making major concessions anytime soon.
We're talking about Cuba after Fidel Castro. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Of course, first commercial flights into Havana today. They've been into Cuba already. Jeremy in Nashville. Jeremy, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I would like to offer a different, basically, picture of Cuba as I've come to understand it from not only reading, but also from being part of a Mexican family that has traveled there numerous times over the last number of decades.
Let's hear it.
And, you know, when Fidel came into power, he was kicking out a dictator who had created a big disparity in equality in that country, and his value was to create equality in a country. Now, of course, Fidel was not perfect, And I think the embargo created a lot of hardship that caused him to do a lot of the things he did. But, you know, he did create a country where people have incredible health care. People have incredible education. No one is hungry, you know. I mean, people probably would like to eat more meat, you know, but no one's starving. And I think that, yes, there's a lot of Cuban Americans who have come here because people aspire to have iPhones and televisions and be able to be anything they want to be. And that's great. But, you know, from the people that I know have gone there, I mean, what you have is a culture of people that are confident in who they are. You know, they have lots of time to celebrate and party and relax. They're not working their tails off to try to make ends meet. They're cared for. And, you know, especially the people in the rural lands are incredibly happy people. They are self-sufficient, and they have created a quality of life that I think is really hard to match in a lot of other places.
And Jeremy, so, we've got it, and our time is short. Mimi Whitefield, you travel to Cuba often. You'll be there again soon. What about the balance of satisfaction versus dissatisfaction in Cuba today?
Well, everybody I've talked to certainly wants to improve their economic lot in life, and many do say now that they don't particularly like their form of government, but in addition to the education and the free health care, what it has given them is a very low crime rate and also a sense of tranquility. There are no violent street protests, and they look around Latin America and they're a little afraid of this type of thing.
The world that Fidel Castro created and Raul Castro has carried on with a new future now lying before it. Mimi Whitefield will be headed down for the Miami Herald very soon. Mimi, I hope we can talk to you after you've taken the temperature lately. Thanks so much for being with us today from Miami.
Thank you, Tom.
And William Leogrand at American University in Washington. William Leogrand, thank you so much for your thoughts as Fidel Castro passes from the scene. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.